As we enter into an attitude of prayer, you'll be invited to join us this month celebrating the month of the young child. So when you leave, you'll be offered a name. And these are the names of children in our First Steps preschool. So this month, I'll be praying for Charlie, and you can choose a child as you leave to remember them in prayer. This morning, we have two beautiful prayer quilts. So these will be outside the doors of the sanctuary as you leave. So you're invited to stop and say a prayer, tie a knot, sign their cards so that they know that they are wrapped in our prayers. Let's pray. Lord of all creation, we come to you in prayer and gratitude for the blessings that surround us. We thank you for the little reminders that spring will come, for tulip tops peeking out of the ground, even if they are dusted with snow, for budding trees that will soon bring forth flowers, leaves, and then fruit, for the bird songs that fill the air, as well as our dear friends we lovingly call snowbirds, both returning from their winter travels. Thank you, loving God, for the promise of spring. Spring is a reminder of hope, and Lord, we need your hope. Your love and hope fortifies us in a world full of challenges and uncertainties. For friends and loved ones facing health crises, illness, addiction, anxiety, pain, please hold them in the palm of your hand and bring them your peace and comfort, the comfort that comes from knowing you. For those who have lost loved ones, be present in their grief. We pray, dear God, that you will guide us on how to respond to the needs of our neighbors. Help us show your love in all that we do. Lord, we thank you for our church and our community and our country where we can worship freely and grow closer to you. Bless our leaders that they have the wisdom and strength that comes from you. Bless those sitting next to each of us this morning. We each have much to thank you for, as well as our own concerns to lift up. In this moment of silence, we gratefully turn them over to you now. Let's join our voices together to repeat the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture lesson is from the book of Luke. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, Do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Liz. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it is still a celebration of resurrection. In fact, every Sunday is supposed to be a mini resurrection as we remember back to that first Easter. And so this is a time when we can continue to celebrate the promise of Easter in the new life that we have through Jesus Christ. Now, what we're going to do during the month of April is we're going to be looking at post-resurrection appearances by Jesus. And we know there were a lot of them. I'm going to read a verse from Acts 1:3. It says, after Jesus' suffering, he presented himself alive to his disciples by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And so we don't have all of the accounts, probably, of all the places that Jesus appeared. But we know from the account that Liz read today that he appeared in an upper room to his disciples. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to other women who had come to tend the grave. He appeared to disciples in Galilee. He appeared in many different places. And there was a particular pattern that went with his appearances. So if you look at the post-resurrection accounts, it's generally this way. Jesus appears, or a disciple has an encounter with Jesus. And when they do, they are filled with emotion. It could be fright, confusion, puzzlement, joy, whatever it is, they're filled with emotion. Most often, they don't quite understand what they're seeing. So the first part of the pattern is the appearance, the encounter, and then this confusion. And then the second thing that happens is there's a time of understanding. So we see in the text today, Jesus says, here are my hands and feet. I am alive. I'm real for you. And then Jesus says, do you have anything to eat? And they give him a piece of broiled fish. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, because this happens in the Gospel of John 2, that he eats. You may say, well, that, you know, what? You know, dying and coming back to life kind of makes you hungry. You know, yeah, you're hungry. Well, what he was doing is proving to them he wasn't a ghost, because ghosts don't eat. And so this was a way of understanding. And then it says in the scripture we heard today that he went on to explain to them that the prophets had said that this was the way things would happen, that Jesus would suffer and die, and 3 days later he would rise up. And so he explained to them the scriptures. And we find this in the post-resurrection accounts as well. So we've got the encounter. And then there's this understanding that comes to people. And then there is a third part where he sends them out. And so this is an interesting place where it's about witness, and it's about going to tell other people what's happened. And he sends them out. So we have these kind of standard pieces, and it goes across these post-resurrection accounts. So I want to look, actually, through the month of April, we're going to look at each one, and we're going to ask the question, what might we learn as disciples today from Jesus' post-resurrection appearances? And so today, I want to talk about how Jesus offers peace. Now, what we heard in the scripture from the very beginning is Jesus appeared with a couple of disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is earlier in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. He appeared with those disciples. They didn't know who he was. If you remember the story, they walked along with him. He opened their eyes to the scripture. They invited him to have a meal with them, and when they sat down and he broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they saw that it was Jesus. And so it was the same kind of thing, not understanding who Jesus is, having an encounter, having an explanation. And then they're told to go and tell people. And so what they do is they run back to Jerusalem to tell people. And the account we've heard today is when they get to the rest of the disciples. Now, as they're talking to the disciples about what's happened, Jesus suddenly appears among them. And the first thing he says to them is, peace be with you. Now, it's completely understandable that he would say, peace be with you to the disciples, because what a terrible few days they had had.
They had seen him arrested. They, whether they saw it or not, they knew that he had been crucified. He had been put in a grave, and on that morning, that first Easter morning, the women had gone to the tomb and run to tell them that the tomb was empty, and there was some person or angel telling them that he had risen and was going before them. Now, this would be a pretty stormy time, a time of grief and doubt and fear. What were the religious leaders up to? Had someone stolen Jesus' body? Was this truly a resurrection? And what about the Romans who had actually killed him? Would they be next? It was a time when they needed some peace. And so we might ask, what is peace? Now, you may have your own personal definition of peace, and you might think about the most peaceful times in your life. You might say, peace is a time when I don't have any responsibilities. Peace for me is a time where all is quiet. Or you might think of a natural setting as a place where you find peace, or a particular place in your life, a room in your home, or a place that you travel to. You say, this is the place of peace. For some of us, peace may not be that quiet. It might be, I find the greatest peace when I am with my beloved family or my friends, and that's the place where my heart rests and I find peace. There are also standard definitions of peace. Of course, can be a place that is a place of quiet and calm, but we also think about peace as freedom from disturbance, freedom from conflict, or an absence of war, and that's often what the protests are about. In 1969, John Lennon wrote the song, Give Peace a Chance. For those of you who follow the Beatles, it was like when they were having the great bed-in. Well, anyway, he wrote this song, Give Peace a Chance, and it became an anthem for those who were protesting war and conflict, and is still being sung today. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have sung this anthem, and it's a cry of the heart that there might be peace in this world. And it certainly ties in with Scripture because there's a great desire for peace. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, early on, is talking to a group of people who are in the midst of a siege in Jerusalem. The city would ultimately fall, and the prophet Isaiah promises them this peace. And this may be familiar to you from 2 verse 4. God shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There is a promise of the prophets that peace will come and there will be an absence of war and of conflict. And so we know that there is that great desire. But is that the kind of peace that Jesus offered when he appeared to the disciples? You will have some quiet and calm. Was that his offer of peace? Or was his offer of peace, the war will end soon and there will be no conflict? Well, we understand that to follow Jesus Christ doesn't mean that things are going to be peace and quiet all the time. And we certainly know that the followers of Jesus Christ have dealt with war and conflict all through the existence of Christianity. So is that what Jesus meant? Is it what he meant when in John 14, on the night before his death, he said to his disciples, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The word peace in this text and in the John text is in the Greek Irene, and it's an interesting word because it doesn't exactly mean what we think of today when we think of peace. The specific definition is wholeness. It means that all of the parts are joined or unified. And so when Jesus comes to the disciples, he isn't saying, peace be with you, the war is going to end. There won't be any conflict. Peace be with you. You'll have a quiet spot that'll be really a nice, comfy place to rest. What Jesus is saying is this is what I give you as the risen Christ. I give you the opportunity to be whole. What better thing to desire? Wholeness with God. In other words, to be fully right with God. To be in connection in a righteous way, that when we do things, we are directed by God's will. We are that connected. What a wonderful thing to wish for, that this might be the peace of our lives, that we might be in good and right relationship with one another, beginning with our friends and families and colleagues, but with all community. And what an amazing thing to think that if this kind of peace reigned in the church, a kind of reign that brought unity around God's will, what might the Church of Jesus Christ be able to do? If we accepted this kind of peace, Irene, a kind of whole peace, I believe that it's possible. I believe that we can, as a community and individuals, be perfected in love and to be whole as God created us to be right with God through Jesus Christ, and to live a life that is pleasing to God, not only as individuals, but as community. So you may ask, how in the world might that be possible? And I think that we can get a clue by looking at, in this particular story and in other post-resurrection stories, that pattern that I talked about in the beginning. So the first part of the pattern would be encounter. And so you'll remember I talked about one of the patterns is encounter, where Jesus appears to people. So I want you to think about some of the people that Jesus appears to and what's on their hearts. Mary Magdalene, brokenhearted. Mary Magdalene he appears to, and she is weeping near the tomb when he comes in abject grief. And Jesus offers her wholeness and peace by saying that I'm living. He comes to Thomas. Now, this is would be on this day, not the first day of the resurrection, but the second Sunday. He appears to Thomas, and Thomas had said, I'm not going to believe in this resurrection stuff unless I can see him, unless I can put my hands in his wounds. And Jesus appears to Thomas, and Thomas offers, you are my Lord and God. He offers his profession of belief. And then there's Peter. Peter is that man who had denied Jesus. He could feel his life broken apart and broken from the divine, the Messiah. And Jesus appears to Peter on the Sea of Galilee and calls him over and says to him three times, feed my sheep. The encounter gives Peter purpose and reconnects him with Jesus Christ. An encounter with God can indeed bring us wholeness and bring us to a place where we are connected and in the midst of God's will. Now, you may say, how in the world are we going to encounter Christ? Because very few of us are going to actually encounter the risen Christ in person. And if you do, people are going to ask you some very hard questions. You know, if you have that witness. But I think there are ways that we do encounter Christ. We can encounter Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in worship, in song. You may have songs that just come into your head, songs that touch your heart and inspire you. We can encounter Christ in meditation and in prayer, where we feel the nudge of God's Holy Spirit, where we feel a direction towards God's will. We can encounter Christ in readings that we do, inspirational stories, and even in preaching, we can encounter Christ. I think one of the most powerful places are in the individuals that God puts in front of us. That we can be surprised often by the presence of Christ in another person's compassion or care. We may even look back and say, I didn't know it at the time, but Christ was present in that moment. Christ was present in my life in this time. I'm looking back this weekend over one of those, just the small one. My mom fell this week on Wednesday, and thank you for those of you who have been praying for her. The story is she was with the Red Hats, and they were coming out of a restaurant, and it was very windy on Wednesday, and so she had her red hat on, because the Red Hat ladies have red hats. She was holding with one hand and her purse and her leftovers in the other. And so when she tripped on the sidewalk, there was nothing to stop her falling face down. And so she scraped her whole face. It's quite horrible. I'd show you a picture, but then I'd be in big trouble. And she suffered a concussion, but no broken bones. So after being in the emergency room for, you know, as long as that takes, by then I'd gotten up there and my brother and I took her home. And there was all of the fuss of getting her settled in the house. And in the emergency room, they hadn't done a really good job of cleaning up from all of the cuts and bruises. And so we were, trying to figure this out. Now, my six-year-old niece, who's on spring break, was there as well, Carly. And I didn't really notice at the time in the midst of the fuss. But I look back now, and I know that Carly, who spends a lot of time with Grandma, knows better than anyone else in that house where things are. And so as we fussed with my mother, things just started appearing. I know I caught her out of the corner of my eye standing on a chair getting an ice pack out of the freezer. Without being asked, she was bringing like a bowl of warm water. She brought a washcloth. She brought some ointment. She brought this container of first aid stuff. She brought out of my mom's bedroom some clothes to change from the clothes that she had that were damaged. She just brought all this stuff unbidden and silently. The six-year-old. And I think now about the presence of Christ in that. Just these gestures of compassion that came quietly and easily from this small child. And I say to myself, in that moment, in that kind of tense moment of, you're going to sit in this chair and don't move, and it was the presence of Christ brought by that child. And I think that sometimes we miss those encounters, or if we are encountering, we're in a state of mind where we don't quite catch it. And it might take some time for understanding. And that's a thing that happens next often and can bring us to this way of wholeness and of peace is through understanding. Jesus explains in verse 44 what has happened. He says, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. I'm going to suffer. I am going to die. But I will rise again, and I will be with you." You know, the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament talks about Jesus being the offering that is given once and for all people. There are no more offerings needed. And for people like Mary Magdalene and Thomas and Peter, and for each of us, we can come to understand that Jesus' death and resurrection bring for us reconciliation and new life. Resurrections for each of us. And it is not a time for sorrow, but a time for celebration, because we can be deeply connected to Christ. Christ offers us the Holy Spirit. It says in John that the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we might remember what Christ taught, but also that we might be given the words to say when needed, and that we might be so filled that we might be made whole. That way of peace that gives us confidence in the midst of whatever is happening. And so we have an encounter with Christ. It happens with us. There are opportunities for understanding through the Holy Spirit, through the reading of Scripture, through studying with people and talking about Scripture. And then there is the sending out. Jesus says to his disciples, "You are the witnesses to these things. You have heard me teach and seen my miracles. You have seen my death, and you now see my resurrection." He goes on to tell them in several places what they are to do. Luke continues into the book of Acts, and in Acts he says, I am sending you out to Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to all the world. At the end of Matthew, in Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you always. Jesus does not leave us as people who say, I want the gift of wholeness. I'm going to get that by believing in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to just take that gift of peace. I'm going to set it up on a shelf or perhaps in a curio cabinet, and I'll show people when they come to my house. What Jesus says is if we receive the gift of peace, it is our responsibility to give it to others. If we find a wholeness in our life by the grace of Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility to witness to that and to let other people know that there is a way to get through life that doesn't leave us half empty and wondering about purpose and meaning, but that Christ will be present in our lives. After the earthquake in 2010 in Haiti, a young man named Jason Lee made a video of him actually busking on the streets in New York to raise money for the people in Haiti, and he put the video out into the community, and he raised even more money for Haiti. So he got this idea that perhaps if people made videos for good, that the world would be changed. It's called the Jubilee Project. And because it is the month of the young child, I want to just show you one of these videos from the Jubilee Project.
I wish I can have a lot of toys, but homeless people and food is even more important.
And take a seat right here for me.
Okay.
Awesome.
Are you nervous at all? If you could have any wish, what would you wish for?
It's tough. Hard one. A robot that would do everything for me.
A Bugatti. And a mansion.
I wish that unicorns were real.
I could have superpowers.
To bend metal and bite it.
An endless pizza. You eat it, it comes back.
For more wishes for everyone so they could get whatever they wanted. Like me, candy.
Having a better life and like not struggle with like my mom, seeing her like struggle with bills, not so like have more money.
I would wish for, like, homeless people to not be homeless.
Change pollution.
Make a cure for cancer.
Travel around and give people hope.
World peace.
Well, I watch the news a lot, so, like, I've noticed a lot of people getting killed or a lot of murders and stuff like that.
Sometimes the world makes me sad because people aren't educated enough to know about how unwise prejudice is.
I don't know why people fight so much. I think that because they're just mad or frustrated a little bit, or they've just had a bad day.
It's okay if everyone's different. God made us different ways.
If everyone treated people with love, then Earth would be a better place to live.
If you were to give a message to adults, what would your message be?
Stop, look at what you're doing, forget about money, and think about what you really care about.
Because if you don't do anything about it, like to not help it, then it just gets worse.
I think it's really important that we love each other.
If we all work together, we can change the world. We can make a difference.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
In the letter of 1 John 4:12, it says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we could have one wish, what would it be? I think that I would wish for peace. And I think that I would wish for the wholeness of the Christian community, for individuals, brothers and sisters in Christ, and for the church. I would wish for a wholeness that would say, we are forgiven and we are equipped to show the mercy of God to others. We are equipped to repent in confidence and to gain new life. And that this is the gift that we can give to the world. It is our witness, and it will bring a peace as Christ brings. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, one day we must come to see that peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but that it is a means by which we arrive at that goal. We must pursue peaceful ends through peaceful means. What would it mean in each of our lives to find a peace that is not of quiet and not of absence of conflict or trouble in our lives or even in the world, but a peace that comes from claiming Christ as our Savior and moving by God's grace to being all that we can be for Christ in this world? My challenge this morning is simply to choose to do one thing this week, one thing that demonstrates our wholeness and our claim on Christ. It might be an act of generosity or quiet compassion. It might be an act of thanksgiving that is simply between you and the risen Lord. But one thing that claims that wholeness and peace that God gives. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, Lord, we do desire an absence from conflict and war. We desire a quietness of peace in our active lives. But more than anything, we desire endlessly the peace that you offer. A wholeness and connection with you. A peace that allows us to move through this life, through the storms, through all of it, in great confidence and joy. And so, Lord, let us practice that peace this week by your grace. Amen.